Hey, welcome everybody. Brother Goodwin here. Doc is in the studio. We're going to continue our journey through the book of Revelation. But as we said last week in that really sober show that we did about Revelation chapter 8 and then Revelation 9, hell on earth, awful chapter that describes what's coming upon this old sin-cursed world. And but as we said last week, today we're going to talk about the parenthetical passages and chapters in the Bible. And Doc's actually got some charts that he brought with him that we're going to put up on the screen for you. And we're going to give you the timeline of the book of Revelation, how it flows, where you could skip the parentheticals and be right in order. I'm going to share that with you. So get a piece of paper and a pen if you'd like to write those down, because I'll wait a few minutes into the show and I'll share this timeline. Pretty close to the beginning of the show, once we get Doc in here, I will read those for you. You can write them down. Better yet, get the study guide. They're in here. They're on page 61 of this study guide, if you have it, is the timeline of the Revelation, skipping the parenthetical chapters that are stuck in there to explain stuff. It'll be very helpful to you to have that jotted down, or at least if you have the book, you can make reference to it there. This is going to be very important, what we talk about today, and it's not going to be as sober as last week, believe me, but it's going to be very important, and I think you're going to enjoy the slides. If you've got your phone with you and you want to take some pictures of the screen when it comes on, you can do that, and you'd have Doc slides and you can look at them later on. Okay, well, let's get started right now. Well, welcome everybody. Prophet Spotlight here. We're continuing our journey through the book of Revelation. I think this is episode 5.
I think you're
so
right.
Far. Mm-hmm. And we're taking a little detour today. Yeah, we're still with Revelation.
A little interlude maybe or something. Yeah.
And boy, compared to last week, this will be heaven.
We need a little.
Yeah. This will be heaven compared to last week's show about Revelation 9. And you folks that know me, many of you have gotten some of my tracks here. Time is running out. I use Revelation 9 in my gospel, in my tract that I wrote to get people's attention and get them lost, get them to see what's coming if they don't get saved. And Revelation 9 is just one of the most shocking chapters in the entire Bible. I don't know anything more vivid about death and destruction than Revelation 9. And so, Doc, we're going in just a second. We're going to put up some slides.
Yes.
We want to remind people, my Revelation study guide that I have right here in front of me, she'll put that up. It's on the website. You can get that. Doc has a CD, right? A one-hour CD where he goes through the book of Revelation, about an hour long, I think he told me. And then we also have Phil Hauser's 3-CD set where he goes verse by verse. All of this would be great material for you to help you understand the book of Revelation from a Bible believer's point of view, all right?
Amen.
King James Bible believer's point of view. Now, before we turn this over to you, Doc, for the most part, because you're going to go through these slides, I'll be here to chat with you, but you'll mainly be the one going through these slides that you've brought with you. But in my study guide, page 61, if you got a piece of paper and a pen, you got about 15 seconds to run and get one right now. I'm going to give you the timeline. I've never seen this, Doc, in anybody's study guide. I've never seen this timeline. I don't know why.
I've heard, we all know this with study prophecy, but I don't know if anybody that I've read where they put it down.
Well, I think even a lot of the prophecy guys don't understand the parentheticals,
yeah,
and that they're not in order.
Right.
A lot of times they go right back to the beginning.
That's right.
And so I'm going to give, in other words, I'm going to give you the chapters of Revelation that deal with the tribulation period, starting in verse chapter 6 of Revelation, is where it begins. The rapture happens in 4:1, but technically chapter 6, verse 1 is the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. And I think they happen about really the same time as the rapture. It's just that it's he explains some things in chapter 4 and 5. Okay? So I'm going to give you the tribulation period. And now I don't go past chapter 19 like Doc's going to. He's going to go past that. I'm talking about the tribulation from chapter 6 of Revelation to chapter 19, verse 11 is the 7-year tribulation, ending with Christ coming on the white horse, Revelation 19, 11. And so here it is. If you got your piece of paper and a pen, write this down. Here's the chapters in order, skipping the parenthetical chapters. Revelation 6, skip to Revelation 8, go all the way through 8 into Revelation 9, all the way to the end of Revelation 9, and then skip all the way to Revelation 11, verse 15. Not 11:1, 11, verse 15. And then to verse 19, 11, 15 to 19. And then skip all the way to chapter 15 and 16. And then skip chapter 17 and 18 and go all the way to chapter 19, verses 1 through 11. Now, this is my opinion here. And I'm not saying that I am 100% right on this. Let me read it one more time. Revelation 6, skip to Revelation 8, Revelation 9, skip to Revelation 11, verses 15 through 19. Those are in the timeline. Revelation, then skip to Revelation 15 and 16, and then skip to Revelation 19, verses 1 through 11. There's your 7-year tribulation without the parenthetical passages. I say passages and chapters because sometimes it's not a whole chapter that's parenthetical, like Revelation 19 and Revelation 11. There's a piece in there that's in the timeline filled with some stuff that's not, okay? All right, hope that helps you. Now, Doc, let me turn this over to you.
No, I agree with you there. That's important. People do that. They realize that is Daniel's 70th week. That's 2,520 days.
Yeah.
But the book of Revelation is more than just the narrative of the tribulation.
Yes.
Everybody, not everybody, the greater majority of people, when they hear the term Revelation, their mind automatically goes to the tribulation, not realizing the first three chapters is not only introduction, but it's setting the stage, and then not understanding that chapter 20 and 21 and 22, that's beyond.
That's beyond, yeah.
And some of the most important things are actually there for you and I as a believer.
Yeah. You got the great white throne.
Oh, yes.
You got the new heaven and new earth.
New earth. I mean,
that's after the kingdom age.
And eternity to come. Yeah. Wow, what awesome thoughts.
It gets really, really fuzzy for me. You got more of a handle on some of that tonight. It's not been my thing, but I mean, I'm interested in it. Yeah. We're gonna partake of that, but.
Yeah.
So you've got some slides, and she's going to start with the first slide that you want. Are you ready for those?
I'm ready. Yeah, we'll get with it. Yeah.
And she'll probably switch to your camera because you'll be talking to the audience and showing them the slides.
Well, these are materials that, you know, over the years of teaching on prophecy that I've developed. And they've been very helpful in our teaching. If you found the first slide, you can put it up there. She's still looking for that, but it's the book of Revelation. I when I teach just through the book of Revelation, I begin at the beginning, as you see down at the bottom left hand corner, and walk you all the way through up the top right corner into eternity beyond. And this is a four session teaching that I do, and every phase of that is animated in its timeline as it goes along. And very helpful. And but in that, go to the next slide if you want to. And you can contact our ministry about these. These are slides that I've put together myself. If you find that next slide, this kind of helped. We've talked about this in I believe the first and maybe even the second session that we've done. This is the divisions of it, the things that were, the things that are, and the things that are to come. And this also is an animated pops up whenever I'm teaching just in another setting. And this is helpful to understand the three major divisions. And, of course, the things that are after, I'm convinced, Dan, is after the church age.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the things that are after chapter number 4. Then the next slide is the one I want to really look at. And you just mentioned the narrative. Let me cover this one first, all right? And a lot of people, Dan, try to say that all of the judgments are running at the same time, or for whatever reason they think that the trumpet judgments or the vial judgments and people say, well, that looks like a bowl. Well, that's what a vial was in the days of the writing. Mm-hmm. We would call it a bowl. But you can't get to the first trumpet judgment until the seventh seal is opened. So everything underneath the first seal has to be the judgment of God.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of people that say, well, the judgment of God doesn't begin until the first trumpet. Well, wait a minute. I'm convinced that those trumpet judgments all have to do with demonic type of judgment. And it's not until the seventh trumpet is blown that you get to God's final wrath of where he's going to end this thing. And I think those those vile judgments, I think those are going to be rather close together, a trip hammer section. Okay. One pours out and dumps the next and the next.
Now, Mr. Good, if you can put both of us on, just leave that up there, but switch to both of us if you can.
But I think there are a lot of people that think somehow or another you're going to, all of these are running together. What they don't realize, if you see that, look at number 7, the seventh seal, everything under the seal judgments is still going all the way to the end of the vials of wrath.
Right.
And so it's not just, it's not just.
In other words, the seventh seal includes the whole rest of the
tribulation. Yes, it includes all the rest of it.
Then the seventh trumpet is the seven vials.
Is the seventh vials.
Yeah.
And you can't get to those until you've opened that first seal. So everything under that first seal, Dan, I'm convinced, has to do with God's judgment.
Yeah.
And the purpose, number one, I think, is to end. God's going to bring Gentile rule of the world over Israel to an end.
Yeah.
And then secondly, he's going to have a remnant of the Jews ready for the tribulation, or for the millennial reign. And to begin it, he's going to take his church out of here, and he's going to take us to heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a lot of reasons for this event.
And of course, Revelation 4:1, that's the rapture.
I'm convinced it is.
And then Revelation 4:5 explains the throne, mm-hmm, and he that sitteth on it, and the seven sealed book. Then you get to Revelation 6.
That's when the narrative starts.
Yep, that's where the seals begin to open, opened by Jesus himself.
Right.
He orchestrates his whole thing. And when you get to that fifth trumpet, that's the three woes.
We looked at that last week.
That was last week. Woe, and this is Revelation 8, the last verse of Revelation 8. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm glad I'm not an inhabitant of the earth at that time.
That's right.
In heaven.
We're going to be in heaven at the marriage supper. Those three trumpets, 5, 6, and 7 on your screen, are right at the middle of the tribulation.
The first one is,
right, the fifth one, the middle of the tribulation, and the pit is open. Satan is cast out of heaven. He unlocks the bottomless pit, and devils or whatever it is going to.
I think that correlates with chapter 11
or 12
or chapter 12.
It sure does. And then when you get to that seventh trumpet, that's the third woe.
Yes.
But that seventh trumpet is the seven vials of the wrath of God, the worst part of the whole thing.
And the Bible says that if God didn't shorten the days, and I don't believe that means he takes days off the calendar, I think he's going to shorten the length of the day. If God didn't shorten the days, no life could be saved through it. It's going to be so severe. So that tells me that these vials of wrath, I believe, are going to be toward the end when you get to chapter 16.
Yes, I think so too.
They're going to be at the end, and they're going to be like a day after a day after a day, because they're going to be so severe. If you look at it and you realize what's going to happen there, how could anybody survive it over a long period of time?
And you're right. Chapter 15 talks about the seven vials.
Yes.
It introduces them.
It introduces them.
And then
them.
Chapter 16
chapter
is 16, the seven vials.
Here they are.
Yeah.
And,
I think it is. I think it's the very end of the tribulation.
Yeah, I think it's God getting everything ready, because at the end of it, the last vial of wrath is not only an earthquake so great that the world has never known, but it's going to remove all the islands and all the mountains. Great hailstones are going to fall from the sky. God, in the final vial of wrath, and we'll get to this again when we get to this point in our journey through this, is actually preparing the physical earth for the millennial reign.
Yeah, and I had never heard that until I heard you say it. I mean, I've heard about the giant hail and all, but I never put it together that this was part of the process of getting the earth ready,
getting it
the
ready,
redeeming of the planet.
Absolutely.
The redemption of planet Earth so that the kingdom age can begin here.
You want to find that next slide down the order?
So we better get to those, and this is the main thing that we want.
Yeah, this is the main one. We want to look at the parentheticals that are in there. You gave the details of the narrative, and between all of those, she'll find it here in a minute, between all of those is what we call parentheses. It's like if you were writing a book, you would be able to say, well, I want to give some information that might help clarify some things that I've already talked about, or I want to make sure that they understand what I'm getting ready to talk about. Sometimes so we'll write that information, we call it a parentheses that we stick in. I guess she must be having trouble finding that one. Anyway, they're like a parentheses. We also call them in Bible terms parallels.
Yeah.
Because these are events or things that are taking place in the background of the narrative that you covered a while ago. And so here it is on the screen. Starting in chapter 7, the whole chapter there basically is between the 6th and the 7th seal judgment. And he's stopping to give you some information. And sometimes this information literally takes you all the way back to the beginning. When you get to chapter 17 and 18, which is also another one of these parallels down there, and the fifth parallel, that is a period of time that you say, well, that came at the end of the tribulation. No, it didn't. It's telling you about a mystery Babylon system that's been in operation from the opening of the first seal back here.
Mm-hmm.
So these are not necessarily in order or in sequence of time, but the information is placed in there. This is why some people, they'll get to the third one here in chapter 12 and through chapter 13. This is the middle of the tribulation. And remember a few years ago, everybody come out with this, you know, the woman standing on the moon and the sun in her hair and all of this. And, oh, this is the rapture and all this kind of stuff. And they had a map of the stars. Of stellarium and all these kind of things. Well, the first five verses of chapter number 12 is a history lesson.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
The woman is Israel.
Yeah.
The child that is born is Christ. Mm-hmm. He came to do whatever it was he came to do, provide redemption for mankind, and he went back to heaven.
Yeah.
So when people say at the middle of the tribulation is where that one comes in, at the middle, what happens? The devil or the Antichrist breaks that covenant, and he comes to do what? To destroy Israel and the saints.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's why, where on Calvary, Jesus broke the bondage of sin over those who were under redemption. It's broken for us. Now the devil is coming with all of the force that he can do to destroy the woman, Israel. And that's why, even in the Old Testament, you're going to find very many passages where Israel is going to run here and going to run there. Jesus told them, look, don't come off the housetop, man. You run for your life when this happens. Why? Why would the devil do that? Because the woman was the instrument that God used to provide redemption, not just for our salvation, but for the crushing of his head.
Yeah, I like that.
And so these are parallels, and you can take a picture of it, or you can stop. If you're doing YouTube, you can stop this, and you can. I tell people all the time, go to your Bible, and wherever that verse is, that's where you put starting parallel, whatever. And where it ends, over here, put a mark. And when you're reading through the book of Revelation, you're going to know I've entered it.
And it's interesting, the first one on your list there, Revelation 7, he actually talks about a future event.
Yes.
He goes ahead instead
That's
of
right.
backwards.
Yes.
And he talks about there are going to be martyrs. There are going to be martyrs in the yep. tribulation. But not till around the middle. That's when the first people get saved.
But see, that's in the parallel.
Yeah. And so it's interesting. Sometimes he goes back, like Revelation 12, mm-hmm. I think, goes back. Really, you can go back 6,000 years with Revelation
yes.
12. Back
that's
to,
right.
Where it all began. But Revelation 7, remember what just happened in chapter 6. Fourth of
yes.
the world just died.
Yes.
And he takes a stop, says, now, wait a minute, don't despair. There are going to be people saved. There's going to be a mm-hmm. great revival.
Right.
Every kindred, tongue, and nation. Mm-hmm. It's going to start with the Jews. They're going to be mm-hmm. the first fruits are going to be the Jews. They're going to run for their lives, like Matthew 24
Absolutely.
Says. And they're going to preach everywhere they go. And it'll yep. be like the book of Acts all over again. And so he gives us a shadow in that parenthesis of, hey, look what's coming.
Yeah.
Who are these arrayed in white apparel?
But what happens, Dan, if you don't know that you're in a parallel or a parenthesis
yeah.
at that point.
You get mixed up
you
on your timeline.
You get mixed up, and then this is where most of these guys get their idea of a mid-tribulation
yeah.
rapture because
yeah.
they don't realize where he's
yeah,
what he's talking
and
about
And I can
here.
See how they get it. Say, who are these arrayed in white
yeah.
apparel? Oh, these guys just got
oh,
raptured.
Oh, they just got here.
No, these
yeah.
are martyrs. Of the. They're tribulation
yeah.
martyrs.
Yeah.
They're people who got saved. And we're put to death, and a lot of people are. It's going to be tough in those
oh, yes.
days. It ain't like today, everybody claps for you and gets saved.
Nope.
In these days, you're going to run for your life.
Right, right.
Yep.
So it's important. I think we have one more slide, too. Well, go ahead, back at this one here. Look, the sixth one is the results of the last vial of wrath. We'll get to that later in our walk through Revelation here, but folks, you need to understand that the last vial that God pours out is actually preparing the physical world for Jesus to come and sit on David's throne and rule the world. It's been promised
yeah.
to him.
Now, I see number four.
Uh-huh.
Revelation 14 and Revelation yeah. 7 are very similar.
Very
except
similar.
Revelation 7 talks about martyrs, but they both talk about yeah. these guys called the 144,000.
That's right.
And those guys are, yep. the, are the Jews that
right.
are going to be assembled in
Virgin
Jerusalem.
Virgin men, yes.
And they're the ones that are going to witness Moses and Elijah being killed, left in mm-hmm. the street, the two witnesses.
Yes.
They're going to, 3.5 days later.
Well, I thought that's when they came down to the middle of the tribulation.
No, when we go up in the rapture, they come down.
There you
we
go.
We can wave to them on the
a
way.
A lot of people don't understand
yeah.
it because they don't understand they're looking at a parallel.
And here's the thing, Revelation 11. Same thing. It's yeah. one of these parallels. And well, Revelation 11, that's halfway through the book of Revelation. This must be the middle of the tribulation.
Yeah.
And it talks about the two witnesses, their ministry.
Yep.
And so almost every commentary I've looked at has the two witnesses showing up at the middle,
yeah.
dying at the end, which is absolutely
no,
impossible.
They die in the middle. It's very obvious.
Yeah. How is it going to be a big revival if they die at the end and then Christ comes back on the white horse? It's over.
Yeah.
No, they come at the beginning. Their ministry is only to the Jews. Their ministry is there. And the two witnesses and the 144,000 will get saved upon their death when they're laying in the street. Not when they die, but when they ascend back to heaven.
That's right. Well, I think
that's when, in fact, Revelation 11:13
yeah.
says the remnant gave glory to the
yeah.
God of heaven. That's when they get saved.
I
that's
think
at the
that,
middle.
Of course, the two witnesses are going to serve in a similar pattern as Moses and Aaron did for the children of Israel in the deliverance from Pharaoh.
Yeah.
A lot of similarities there
mm-hmm.
Against the Antichrist and his reign. But I think their main purpose is preparing and teaching and helping this 144,000, because why would they be there? Why are they ready for this?
Yeah.
I think it's because these two men have been preparing
yeah.
them.
And, of course, they're there because they're commanded under the law
yes.
And they're going to be back under the temple at this time. The Antichrist has just gone in there. Yep. He's going to declare he's God. And they're glad about it. I mean, he's their Messiah, they think.
Right.
Until these two guys die and they go back to heaven in the sight of the 144. It says that. Sight of the 144. They ascend bodily, just like Jesus did. Mm-hmm. That's when the light comes on and those Jews suddenly realize Jesus is the Messiah.
And now they're ready to go across the world. Preach the gospel.
Well, the Antichrist helps him with that because when he hears about it in the temple.
Yeah, he's going to send them out.
And I ad lib here a little bit. I say, you know, he asks, hey, what's all that noise out there? You ain't going to believe this, Your Highness, but them Jews, them two guys, they ascended into the heavens and them Jews have gone nuts. They're crying out to Jesus. And he's going to quench his fist. And he says, I'll kill every one of them.
Yeah.
That's when the Jacob's trouble starts.
That's when Jacob's trouble starts. But this is information along with Chapter 17 and 18, Mystery Babylon and all this stuff. This is information that is extra running in the background to the narrative that you pointed out earlier.
Yeah.
And if you don't know that, we've got one more slide, if she can find that slide.
And if you don't understand these parenthetical, you're going to get lost.
Yes.
You're going to see things happening that are not according to the timeline. Like the two witnesses, for instance.
Yeah.
There you go.
We talked about it a little bit last week. This gives you an idea. This is a slide from back in 2018. We could update that to a little over 8 billion people now. But can you imagine the rapture's taking place? How many's going to be left behind? I think there's going to be a whole lot more left behind than they are going that think they're going.
Yeah.
But by the fourth seal, you're going to have a fourth of all the world's population dead. And by the sixth trumpet, you got another one third. And when you get to the end of the tribulation in 7 years, you only have about one third of the population that actually survives.
Yeah.
And out of that, only one sixth of the Jews survive the tribulation period.
Yeah.
So it's going to be 7 years. I tell folks all the time in my meeting, if you want to stay behind, that's your business, but I'd encourage you to get ready and go at the rapture. But if you want to stay behind, learn to be a mortician or
a
grave digger.
If you want to bring the screen back, there you go. Thank you.
Because you're going to be busy if you're a grave digger.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be digging them with backhoes. They're going to be digging them with bulldozers.
Yeah. You just can't fathom many people dying in that short of a time.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, there you have. There's the parenthetical chapters and why they're important. I would encourage you to get the Revelation Study Guide at the website. I would encourage you to get Doc's audio CD and Phil Hauser's audio CDs set that he has. This will all help you understand the book of Revelation. I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. I hope you've been saved. I hope you got a place in your mind where you remember where you got on your knees and got saved. It doesn't necessarily, you don't have to know the date, but there ought to be a place in your mind. There's where I got saved. All right. If you need help with that, contact us. But until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.